Leviticus chapter 14, as we finish up the study on the law of leprosy and the lepers. Last week we spent a lot of time on chapter 13, which began the study and presented it. And in Leviticus chapter 13 is the diagnosis of leprosy. And we have to explain a couple of things from last week as a carryover for this week, is that leprosy, actually the word in Hebrew represented by the English word leprosy, actually means a blemish or spot. And it had to do with any blemish or spot of the skin, not the leprosy as we know today, but it covered everything. If a person had a burn on their arm or any part of their body, they were burned by some hot object, if they had a boil, any type of blemish on the skin, you had to go to the priest and had to be diagnosed. If he looked at it and he saw the hair turning white and he saw that the skin was discolored and it was deeper than the surface of the skin, then you were put aside for 7 days and checked to see if it would turn leprous. And we're talking about cancers, tumors, any type of open sore disease, any type of infectious disease through the skin. That's what we're talking about, leprosy. As we shared with you last week, leprosy is the perfect type of sin in the Bible. You did not go to a doctor, you went to the priest, and he determined whether you had it or not. In order to be cured of leprosy, it had to be an act of God. And leprosy is that perfect type of sin, in that the leper is infected by it, and the only way that he can be healed by it is to be touched by God, and then he would have to go through his cleansing to be allowed back into the congregation and into social life. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the cleansing of the leper in order for him to be brought back into the social community. But just if you go read through chapter 13 again, if you weren't here last time or forgot a lot of things that we talked about, can you imagine any type of blemish, cut, burn, boil, any type of abnormal rising of the skin, you would have to go to the priest and you would be set aside and you'd be watched to see if it would turn leprous. That is the way of sin. And it is the perfect type of sin in the Scriptures. Now what is interesting tonight, as we get into chapter 14, this is the cleansing of the leper, what the leper had to do to be allowed back into the congregation. And then we're also going to study the laws concerning leprosy in houses at the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 33. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." Now, nowhere in these two chapters is a cure presented. A person did not have to go through these ceremonies for the cure. There was no cure. These ceremonies were an expression of God's touch and God's work upon a person's life if he was cleansed, not healed, but cleansed. First of all, he shall be brought to the priest, not to the doctor, but to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, because the leper is outside the camp, and he shall be called to go outside the camp. And the priest shall look, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Now the interesting point about this, and paralleling it with it being the perfect type of sin, is that the leper is outside the camp. His sin has separated himself from any participation with society or with society and their relationship with the Lord. So the priest had to go outside the camp, and so Christ has come to us. God sent his only begotten Son to the human race. There's nothing we could do to make our approach to God that would cleanse us or heal us of our sin. So God came to us. And so as the priest went outside the camp to examine the leper, so Christ came to us. Verse 4 tells us, the commandment that he was to take for his cleansing, and this was a ceremony, this is to for him to be allowed back into society and back into the normal congregation and fellowship worship in the temple. So these are all symbols, of course, of Christ and the cleansing that one goes through to become a member of the body of Christ. First of all, there are two living, clean birds. Cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. We'll take these as we go through. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So the water and the blood is mixed. And the bird is killed, and both the water and the blood are in the earthen vessel. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Of course, the dead bird represents the death of Christ. The living bird, according to the Jewish approach to the situation, is symbolic of life and resurrection. If we're applying it to Christ, it is both his death that provided the cleansing and his resurrection that provided the new life. And so the blood of the dead bird was to be mixed with water, showing that it is through the shed blood that there is cleansing. Of course, the scripture does indicate in the Gospel of John, as well as 1 John chapter 5, that Christ came. He came by water and the word, water and the blood. And so here we have a mixture of water and blood. Of course, in John's writings, it was to dispel Gnostic heresy that at the baptism of John, that Christ entered into Jesus, and then right before he died on the cross, or actually went to the cross, that Christ left Jesus and left Jesus to die alone. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? John dispels that myth. That was a Gnostic heresy. And says, indeed, Jesus was there at the baptism of John because John was there to introduce him to the nation Israel as Messiah. And it was indeed the Christ who died on the cross for the sins of the world. It was his shed blood, not someone else's that he borrowed in type. And so we have here the shed blood and the cleansing with the water. And he took the living bird, and sprinkled it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy. 7 in the scriptures is the number of completeness. So as he was sprinkled 7 times, it showed his complete cleansing. Because of the death of the bird, because of the cleansing, and it was complete. And the priest had to pronounce him clean. This is not just something, a random doctor's note. The priest had to pronounce him clean, so is it with the Lord. A person's not clean in the sight of God unless God pronounces him clean. And he shall let the living bird loose in the open field, which represented the newness of life. And we apply it, of course, to the resurrection of Christ. Excuse me. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, so that he may be clean. Now the washing of the clothes, and we've studied it a couple of times through the scriptures, the washing of the clothes had to do with the newness of life. The shaving of the hair had to do with a new start and a new lifestyle. And washing himself, showing the application. And there's a big key here because all of these symbols as the man is submitting to, the one who is the leper is submitting to this, he is applying the meaning of all of these objects to his life, and so it is with Christ. A person literally needs to come to Christ to be cleansed and washed. And this whole thing, all of these three elements that this leper must do, represents to us repentance. We've had a discussion of repentance around the house here the last couple of days because someone's in a study course and they wanted to know what the word repentance means. And literally, metanoeo literally means to make a decision for change. It does not mean that we can change ourselves. It just literally means that I've got to choose a different path of life. And that's exactly what this represents. Wash the clothes, shave the hair, wash yourself all over. So what are you? You're brand new. New lifestyle, new direction in life, and you apply the cleansing to yourself. That is the cleansing of the sacrifices. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. Now, I think that's interesting. I have been continually impressed with this little approach, this little phase that a leper has to go through, and it's called inspection. We called Leviticus chapter 13 the chapter of diagnosis. But literally, it's inspection. I mean, by now, shouldn't he be left in the camp? Well, now, wait a minute. 7 more days. Stay outside of his tent for 7 days, but on the 7th day he shall shave all of his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. All of his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. You gotta do it all over again. The new life. Do you think somebody would get the point? Do you think we'd get the point if we had to observe this? Of how important it is to be cleansed in Christ? That the new life can only come through Christ and His cleansing, His washing. But when He cleans us to go in a new direction with a new lifestyle, a new attitude, a new purpose, a new motive. Everything's new. Everything's brand new. He's a new creation in God, Paul says. We are new creatures and new creations in God. Verse 10, and on the 8th day he shall take 2 male lambs. And so now he's got to present his sacrifices, his trespass offering, his sin offering, his burnt offerings, meal offerings. All the offerings that we studied at the beginning he must present in order to come back into the congregation and back into society again. So now he's got to present his offerings. And you know who the offerings represent, and that's Christ. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. 1 log is equal to about 1/2 pint of oil. Then the priest who makes him pronounces him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering. Remember, the trespass offering was because of our sins, the acts of sins that we commit. And the log of oil, the 1/2 pint of oil, the oil represented the Holy Spirit, which is what gives a person the new life. And wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place. Of course, that's at the burnt altar there. And at the same place where these lambs are killed, it represents the cross of Christ. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. He is now able. Notice he has to be cleansed in order to hear the voice of God. He is now made right, and now he can serve God with his hands. And because of the cleansing of the sacrifices and the application of his life, he is now able to walk in God's way. Hearing God's word, serving the Lord with his hands, and walking in the way that God has for him, all provided through the trespass offering applied to his life.
Isn't this the same routine that the priest goes
yes,
through?
Yes, exact. The exact one. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hands the priest shall put on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering, the oil representing the Holy Spirit. And again, what allows him to enter into hearing the voice of God, serving God, and walking in God's way is the sacrifice made for him, not his own works. Just like the New Testament says about us, it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we are God's creation. We enter in because of his shed blood for us. We are cleansed because of his shed blood. And so we get to hear his voice and serve him and walk in his way because of him, not because of us. And then the provision to walk in that way comes when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, when we receive Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us, and he's the one that gives us the direction and the strength to serve the Lord with our hands. And, of course, the strength and the guidance to guide us in the way of truth as we walk in the Lord's way. So the symbolism represented the cleansing was what allowed him to come into this intimate fellowship, which was gave him his cleansing, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life is what would give him the voice, the strength, and the guidance in this new life because he has been cleansed. Verse 18, I believe we're in. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So he pours the rest of it on his head. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. I like the way one person once said, I don't know who said it, but you know, it's one of those things that sticks in your mind. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There are clean lepers and unclean lepers. And I think that's true. It's all, a person has either come through Christ and his shed blood on the cross, and we once were struck with the sin of leprosy, but through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and applying his death to our lives, we have now been cleansed. But we are clean lepers. Whereas those who have never received Christ, they are unclean lepers. They've never come. They're still outside the camp. And yet, Luke says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to outside the camp to see the lepers and to heal them and to bring them back into fellowship with him. But if a person refuses, they won't come. Verse 19, then the priest shall offer the sin offering. We had the trespass offering, now we have the sin offering. That's the offering for people who were born with sin natures. All of us have been born with sin nature. Even if we think that we're good people, sincere, and you and I both know people that, we all know people that are so loving and so sincere and so kind and wouldn't hurt a fly, would do their best to help you. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even nice, sincere people are lost. Everybody needs Christ. So now the sin offering comes, and he shall offer the sin offering for this leper and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterwards, he shall kill the burnt offering. That's the offering of substitution. Christ came and took our place, the vicarious death of Christ. The substitutionary death. So it's for the sin nature, it's for the acts of sin, and for the sake that we needed a sacrifice for our sin, and Christ came and substituted himself for us. and a grain offering on the altar. The grain offering represented the humanity of Christ. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waived, to make atonement for him, one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and a log or half a pint of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be a sin offering, the other shall be a burnt offering. So there's one set of offerings for those who have the money, and of course most lepers would fit into this latter category because they've spent their whole life in a leper colony or a leper camp. They wouldn't have much money. If God, out of his grace and mercy, were to heal them and they were to come back in society, obviously they haven't been working, so they wouldn't have much money. So there is an allowance here that you can take some birds instead of the two male and the female lamb, and take these birds. One will be the sin offering, the other the burnt offering. He shall bring them, verse 23, to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. So the process is repeated, even though we're using different kinds of sacrifices, bird or animals for sacrifice. And the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that it is in his left hand seven times before the Lord, representing completeness. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is on his hand on the tip of his right ear, on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, such as he can afford, such as he is able to afford. The one is a sin offering, the other is a burnt offering with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law for one who had a leprous sore who cannot afford the usual cleansing. And again, this whole process represents the death of Christ as a sacrifice for our sins, but the birth of God's life in us, that rebirth that comes at salvation, is represented by the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. In verse 33, we have the law concerning leprous houses. Some people find this rather fascinating, and probably most of our houses would be condemned and shut down if we had to practice this today, because basically what the priest went in and looked for was some type of reddish or greenish fungus. Anything in the house that was... anything in the house that represented any type of filth or disease, the bacteria in the house, was considered unclean for the house. Now you say, now what does that represent? First of all, this law obviously applied to them when they came into the land of Canaan, that as the priest, if there was any suspect fungus, any type of reddish-green substance on the walls or in the rock or in the mortar someplace, in the corners or in the floors, that they were to call the priest and he was to come in and look over the house. Take everything out of the house. Nobody could live in the house. Quarantine the house. Scrape off the fungus and come back in 7 days and see if it's still there. See if it's spread throughout the house. And if it's spread throughout the house, then the house is to be torn down. Completely demolished. But if it was just local, then they would take those stones and those blocks out of the house, and they'd replace them with new stones. And then they'd quarantine the house for 7 days, and they'd come back and look and see if there's any place. And after the people moved back in, if the fungus was to found in other places after that, then they just tear the house down. It's called a leprous house. Now, I find it rather fascinating. I mean, we've been studying here about the diagnosis and inspection of the body. We would go wacko if we had to go to the priest for every little sore and every little blemish or every little boil or scar that we got from a burn, and go to the priest and be set aside and quarantined for a number of days to be watched. But here now we have the houses. I mean, that would just be too much. First it's your physical body, now it's the house. And to me what it represents is how serious this is about being aware of sin. House represents the very place in which you live. The Scripture tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. God's Spirit comes into a person's life, but God's Spirit indwells this physical body, this house that I live in. What is interesting about that is that Paul said in the book of Romans that in his flesh dwells no good thing. So how busy do you think we will be if we're honest and sincere and concerned before the Lord, knowing that there's no good thing in my flesh? How often do you think that we would be constantly asking the Lord to search our house to see if there is any sin? You know, first we talk about me personally. The leper represents the sinner, the person who, and we know from the Scripture that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what happens after you're cleansed? I mean, I picture, you know, I always picture the worst, because I picture the biggest hassle you could think of. Let's say you were a leper. You've been a leper for 20 years and God miraculously heals you. You come to the priest. You go through this whole cleansing situation in order to be presented back into the congregation and to be accepted back into fellowship with the Lord again. Oh, what a great feeling after 20 years. God healed you. You're cleansed now. And you're back in society and you're back at home for a week, and all of a sudden a fungus breaks out in your house. I mean, it's like, is this ever going to end? And you know what the answer is? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But this is how concerned God is with sin and how the inspection process takes place. You say this would drive us nuts. We'd be busy all day long, presenting ourselves to the priest for any blemish on the physical body. And then, if we found some plaster or some stone or some object in the house that had fungus on it, we got to go call for the priest. We could be quarantined from our homes for a week or so, if not more. And if the fungus is spread, our house gets torn down. It's unclean. You think God isn't concerned about sin? Leprosy is the perfect type of sin in the Bible. Verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I gave you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession. I think that's interesting. God says, when I put the leprous plague there. And he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house. And the priest shall command that they empty the house. So that's the first step. Take all the furniture out. Get everything out of the house. See, this wouldn't do if you don't like moving. I know some people that just hate to move. Well, empty the house. Before the priest goes into it to look at the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to look at the house. And he shall look at the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, that is below the surface of the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shall quarantine it or shut it up the house for 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside of the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in their place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house. And if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it's plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and indeed if the plague has spread in the house, it is an act of leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place.
Is it the priests that are doing all the physical...
I don't know if he's doing the actual breaking down or he's having it done.
I wonder if that was part of the priestly duties.
I don't, maybe in my mind I've blocked that question out.
Pretty close to being
painted. Close. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until the evening. And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes. And he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and looks at it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over the running water. This is for the house. This is not for people. This is for the house. Well, how serious do you think the Lord thinks sin is? Is there any sin in the house? See? There has to be the sacrifice. The death of Christ, the cleansing of his death, poured over this earthen vessel, which represents the humanity of man. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and running water and the living bird with the cedar wood and hyssop, the application, and the scarlet. Scarlet represents the blood applied. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. The bird representing the newness of life, it flies away in the newness of life, the cleansing and atonement having been applied. This is the law for any leprous sore and skull, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. It's quite a study in and of itself.
Evidently, they didn't have any of this when they were living in tents.
Evidently not. It's only when they got into the land of Canaan and built their permanent dwelling.
Is that because they were among unclean people?
Well, the land was unclean. Right. The land was unclean before they got there.
Yeah.
Right. But all of this represents, without trying to use too many words, because I keep trying to repeat myself over and over again to say it right, because I don't think there are human words. You just have to sense within yourself what the Lord wants us to do in our attitude and our approach to Him. How serious it is to receive Christ to be saved and to be cleansed. He has to pronounce us clean. There are no works that we can do. No one can tell us we're clean except the Lord. And secondly, after we're cleansed and we've moved into our house, into our new life, the house has to be clean. The thing is, the house won't be clean. And if we think it is clean, we're deceiving ourselves. Because there's no good thing in our bodies. There must be a constant attitude. Lord, search me to see if there's any unclean thing in me. Or any sin in me. And the Lord who is our priest, who does the inspections, will inspect our house. But it's just, it's not so much legalistically or even through religious breaking of religious principles. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of the reality of who I am and the reality of my need for the Lord to do the searching. I can't depend upon myself. Now see, if I was the inspector, if the Lord left it up to me, oh, maybe once or twice a year, you know, once or twice a year I'd realize that maybe there's something wrong. But if we leave it up to the Lord and His Word, it's a constant. It's a constant inspection and diagnosis. There's a constant message, though, to us as the inspector inspects and he finds the leprosy of sin in our lives. There's a constant application of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and a constant cleansing that takes place. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't inspect the house, and it's the same with the laws of leprosy. It wasn't to condemn, but to clean. Get the infection out. That was the whole point. Not to tear people's houses down or set up a business of house inspector and make big bucks, you know.
Did this have anything to do with them looking for leaven? I mean, like say in the time of Christ, did they still have to?
At atonement, they did, just like today.
They still look for mildew and.
Oh, not mildew, but.
I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
No.
I know they do leaven.
Right.
But I meant, do they still do this looking?
No. Not that I'm aware of. The practicing Jews that I know here, no, they don't do that.
What about the time of Christ?
I don't know. I have no idea whether they inspected houses in Jerusalem.
Or when did this stop, you know?
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. But as we know, it has all gradually stopped up to 70 A.D. to where even the sacrifices stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, everything basically has stopped to where now they say it's cultural. It's not spiritual, it's cultural. It's the culture of the Jews. It's kind of like that's the civic center. The temple is now the civic center of Jewish life. And their way of worship and their beliefs and the way they conduct themselves in the scriptures is cultural. Tradition. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank You. Even though as we really stop and think about what these texts are saying, we can really see that if we're really honest with ourselves before You, that we would be repentant all the day long. For there is no good thing in our flesh. So we sense Your attitude towards sin, and we also sense the necessity of confessing and forsaking our sin and to receive the cleansing. How important it is, as Your Scripture, as Your Word says, sin separates us from God. How important it is for us to confess and forsake. But the beauty of it is that You are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is not Your motive to condemn us, but rather to cleanse us so the effects of sin will not separate our fellowship from You. We want to be right in the center of Your will for our lives. And we just pray that You'd cause us to, and even You must create this, an attitude of searching to see if there be any wicked way in us. Things that are not pleasing before Your eyes, and to have that be our concern. And to be like Paul, who says that his conscience is open, walking sincerely before You, just allowing Your Spirit to search us to see if there be any wicked way in us. So that we can be right and pleasing in Your sight, and that we can hear the voice of God and serve our Lord and walk in His path and be cleansed and clean and upright before you. We just thank you for your word and the fact that wherever we study your word, it always brings us to Jesus Christ, his provision for us, his blessing upon us, and his forgiveness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.